Welcome back to Right Quick,
a bite-sized pop culture conversation with your favorite queer unfriendly black hotties.
Today we're unfriendly because the Pink has yet to reopen and it's in the middle of 2026. I'm Vance Go.
And I'm Nandi K. Yo, is the Pink shut down?
I think it's shut down because, like, last I heard, they was done with rap. They rapped with filming and all this. And I'm like, where's Uncle Clifford? I need guidance. Like, the girls need the boss to be in charge.
Yeah, they had announced, the last time they announced the trailer by... Okay, so this is what I heard. It was like officially set for return 2026. And okay, this was on at the end of January. And they said production wrapped in November of 2024.
Okay. Four.
But a combination of industry-wide strikes and extensive post-production process pushed the release further down the road. Now, how much post-production?
Fuck off. It's about to be 2 years.
And it wrapped in by...
Yeah, that's a year and some change ago. And I'm not gonna.
This is exactly how I felt about Stranger Things coming back. I said, I don't care about those ugly children. They're not even cute anymore.
Not the little homely kids.
They're ugly now. They were cute when they were kids.
Them young men and women.
Yeah, don't nobody want to watch no young white young men and women. Right. One of them's a little Zionist.
He's a Zionist, the little gay one.
Yeah, I'm not watching that. Mind you, the last season before wasn't that fucking good either.
Yeah.
Nah. I did not watch. And then the people were mad. I felt so justified.
We going to stay mad at a finale, but, you know, they do be just dropping the ball because The Boys is having a similar thing right now.
I also gave up on that show last season because I thought last season was too gory. It was like gory for gory's sake. And y'all, there's a war. There are multiple wars breaking out in real life. I literally was struggling to distinguish fake violence from like real violence that I was seeing on TikTok every day. So I bowed out after. I said, also, it wasn't good. The writing sucked. And I always feel vindicated when I say, I'm not watching that anymore. It sucked.
Yeah, The Boys. I mean, my joke has just been like the anime caught up with the manga because like it's one for one. What's happening outside? It's too much. Like, and I mean, that ain't the show's fault. The real life is crazy, but it's the same thing. Like, it's crazy.
I mean, that's what they're writing it about is real life.
Right. And it's one for one, though. It's like, okay, I know this nigga could fly, but it's the same thing as what's happening over here. Like, anyway, what we talk about today?
Yeah, we're actually completely off topic from the intro. Normally we just wanted to have another conversation, but today we're actually going to talk a little bit about fat phobia. Boo.
Boo, we hate her. Fat bitch.
She's ugly. let's give a trigger warning. This episode contains subject material that may be disturbing or upsetting, including mentions of fat phobia and disorder eating. Listener discretion is advised. So, we're talking about fat phobia today.
Fat phobia, the implicit and explicit bias of overweight individuals that is rooted in a sense of blame and presumed moral failing. Anti-fatness is intrinsically linked to anti-blackness, racism, classism, misogyny, and many other systems of oppression.
When is your like first thought, because obviously the word fat phobia is kind of newish, but when is your like first encounter when you think you encounter fat phobia for the first time?
Rough. So I don't know, because it's like any other ism in our society where it's just like pervasive, right? It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. I would have to say, like, I guess just a personal thing. I had an aunt, like, I think I talked about my aunt on this podcast before, Tova. She died. The reason she died was because she had a bypass surgery.
Mm.
So, you know, like all the reasons that will cause you to do something like that is fat phobia, right? So, obviously, I didn't have the language for this, but I think that's always been something that's just like in the back of my brain. Wow. And that happened when I was about 10 years old. So, you know, I think that. Yeah. And then, like, mind you, I live in this world, so it's not like I don't hold fat phobic ideals or whatever, right? Because it's like I grew up in this motherfucker. But like this idea that like, oh, you need to lose weight to be better or like to be okay or be you even, is like I push back against it because of that formative thing.
But always.
What about you? I know you've been like a champion. Like, I think outside of reading and literacy and like love of the South, I think fat phobia is like one of your things.
Yeah. I don't think that growing up, I'm from the South, and I think I always wanted to be more, I wanted to be bigger, because when I was growing up, like, the more curves, the better, right? So, like, and I grew up with, like, a lot of fat, big women with big booties, big thighs, big legs, big stomachs, big breasts, and I thought that was all great. It wasn't until I moved to New York, and I'm a thin person. So, mind you, I'm a thin person. But when I moved to New York, it didn't matter when I was in the South. When I moved to New York, being thin was a scary type of currency.
Mm.
And yeah, I had never thought about my weight before, outside of people telling me I should gain weight, which I never felt no way. I wanted to gain weight. I'm like, you're right. I should gain weight. I'm like, I agree with you. I want to gain weight. I want to get a stick to spot thicker, thicker, thicker. But in New York, it was the first time where I was meeting people, and specifically Black people, who were trying to be thin.
I think there's something about metropolitan big cities, because, like, I mean, I'm talking about California. I'm from Fresno, so that's a little country. It's a little country, right? But I will say, maybe California, like, we smaller in general, I don't know, or we like kind of hold that. We ain't Southern thick, right? Like, when I went to the South, I saw like thick people, like, whoa. I had a stepbrother growing up. He was a bi-coastal, if you are, like, he lived in our house for a year, then his mom's house for a year, and they lived in St. Louis.
Mm.
And the culture difference in that was so funny, because he would come to us and lose a bunch of weight. And kind of like, he would like leave kind of like in a like, just smaller than where he came, but it would be like, quote unquote, more acceptable. But then when he went over there, he was eating them grits and he would just get fit. And you could see the difference just like culturally. And then like his dad was pushing for him to be smaller, of course. And that was, I would see that all my life, like that, like him actually physically changing depending on his environment. And then like I used to be real skinny, like as a little kid. And then I think maybe in sixth grade, like I gained weight, and then everyone was always like, oh, you're fat, you know, this, this and that. So that kind of fucked me up. So I was always like trying to, you know, and I've always been like, even when I'm skinny, I got a little heft to me. You know, I got
one of your best qualities.
Like a little thickness, you know.
Meat.
Right. So like even
meat on there.
Even in like high school, like I have broad shoulders. So even if I was skinny, I had like a little bit of like, you know, like you can't knock me over easy. no matter what decade I'm in. So you know, that's been the thing for me. But I'm also in the military, and like the military is actively fat phobic. Like, they're like,
for sure. I'm glad you brought this up, because I wanted you to talk about this.
Right. Well, so like I have been, ever since I joined the military, I've been overweight. And if you look at pictures of me at like 18, 19, you would laugh hearing that, like the language, like, oh, he's overweight, because I was skinny. But for my height and my weight, it don't add up to the scale. And I mean, you know, now that we're talking about it, that damn scale, right? Like, it's a white supremacist construct. It's based on some white man and some white woman, and they not built like us, literally. Like, and that's okay. But when you standardize it and say like, oh, this is what the ideal body should look like, that's crazy and racist and eugenics. But listen,
because they don't want us to have it, but also they want to recreate it in some ways. It's truly insane. And I mean the word insane. I actually do mean that. Not in an ableist way. I mean the real word insane.
Speak on that. I think I know what you're getting at, but
yeah, but there's a few things, and I talk about, I think this is a big part of the fetishization of Black bodies, because one thing we kind of haven't said, but is always gonna kind of be implied there. This is a show for Black people. Fatphobia is directly anti-Black. It's a response to Black bodies. White people used to also celebrate bigger women. If you look at Greek statues, if you look at things from the Renaissance, from Italy, from all over Europe, those ladies had meat on their bones. Baby, when Black people came over,
thick,
they saw them asses, they said, whoa. And they're fucking, and they rabbit asses was out here fucking sexually assaulting enslaved Black women. And those white women were like, what does she have that I don't? No, she doesn't own herself. That's it. Like, she doesn't own her. I mean, you barely own agency. Yourself either.
Well, you have agency.
You have a little more agency than she does, and she's treated like an animal. But when we look at people like Sarah Bartman, who was brought over from South Africa, tricked into traveling to Europe, and then they put her basically in sideshows. After she died, they put her on display. Her body was on display until 2002. Ooh, sorry, excuse me, until 1974.
Mm-mm. You talk about insane. That's insane. Like, that's
insane.
Monstrous.
They're
that's
obsessed monstrous. With us. And also, I don't know if you watched The Gilded Age, but when I was watching The Gilded Age on HBO, which covers like the Gilded Age in New York City, I love the costumes, and I was looking at these bitches' costumes, and I was like, these bitches are wearing bustles so they can look like they have big, fat, juicy asses. That's what it's supposed to look like.
The bustle is when like they got the corset, but then they got like the thing that kind of
the thing
makes
on the back.
Booty.
Yeah.
Like the bust.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the bustier,
the bustle,
right?
Like on the back part, the bustle.
To make the booty look like a shelf.
Yeah, exactly.
A chariot. A little wagon. Yeah. Okay.
A chariot. They want to look as if they are dragging a wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of wild that now Kim Kardashian is getting her ass taken out, because now we're swinging back the other way. Yeah. She's been doing it for a while. She's getting her ass taken out, but white bitches are getting lip filler. It's just like Black women are getting BBLs now.
Yeah. I've known about this.
Yes, we do know about this.
Another thing that's been just like really like, I think one of the reasons I even wanted to talk about this was like Ozempic, right? Like, I think the gay community, like between drag queens and just the girls or whatever, everybody's on, like, not everybody, I want to be hyperbolic, but I know a lot of people that are on Ozempic, and like, I'm concerned. And what I mean by that, and it's not fake concern either. I'm concerned in that, like, if there becomes a drug where you can just be skinny if you take this drug, then like, now there's going to be other associations with being thin, right? Where it's like, if you have enough money to be thin, so then it kind of becomes a class thing. And then, because I think people's brains are like, bitch, why aren't you skinny if you can be? And
that's crazy to me because I'm just like, well, like, you know, I just said, like, I have several things in my life that kind of have me be like, well, I just want to be me. And if I do want to lose weight, I'll do it, right? Like, I'll go run and work out, do what I got to do. And, like, it might be slower, but, like, I would rather do it that way than, like, be looking crazy. And I'm not saying everybody that's on a zipper look crazy, but, you know, they got them big, remember Shar Jackson? It's not Shar Jackson, Shar Jones. I'm Barbara Bones.
Oh, yeah.
Have it. Yeah. But remember when she had that, Jesse Jackson? Like, there was some, not Jesse
Al
Jackson.
Sharpton. Al Sharpton.
I'm really
you know
Barbara
he
from,
on it. He probably been on it for a minute.
Oprah, but like the big old head and the little lollipop head. And I'm like, I don't want to be looking like that. And some people are just fat. Like,
and that's okay, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with being fat. Being fat is good in a lot of cases. Like, there's no direct health impacts on being fat. If you have health issues, you have health issues. And when you talk about Ozempic, I'm thinking specifically about a conversation that I saw a clip of months ago. This was probably last year. Kelly Clarkson and Whoopi Goldberg were on the Kelly Clarkson show, and they were both talking about being on Ozempic. And the conversation was like, I don't even get hungry anymore. And how amazing it is that they don't get hungry anymore. And as somebody who has an eating disorder and has struggled with the eating disorder for quite a while, to hear people be like, I love it, I'm never hungry, reminds me of like why I'm such a like staunch anti-fat phobia advocate, because I got down to like 80 something pounds and no one said anything to me. Nobody was like, yo, are you all right? Like, are you eating? Like, one person was like, well, at least you're not fat. Oof. Mind you, they were not fat. They just felt fat because of fat phobia, right? And that's like something, it's like, yo, starving to death is not good.
Right.
Well, like, I can't wear children's clothes. Also, you know, my ass went away. And
I think that's a crime, to be honest.
Like, it was devastating. That was really what like woke me up. And then I got on the scale, and then that was a real wake up call. And I was like, oh my God. And then my friend was like, at least you're not fat. And I was like, oh my God, no one understands. She did later apologize, and she did eat a meal with me every day. She was very supportive, would not have gotten through that time without her. But like, this is how fucked people are in the mind of like, I'm 27 years old, I weigh 88 pounds, I tell my friend, they say, at least you're not fat.
Right. Congrats.
Insane in the membrane.
It really is. But like, I look, even to the, like, I got friends, if they losing weight, first of all, we need to stop commenting on people's weight. But if you my friend, I'm commenting on what I want because we're friends. So, and what I mean by this is, I got friends where if I'm losing weight or they're losing weight, I say, hey, are you losing weight on purpose? Mm-hmm. And then if they say, yeah, then I'm like, okay, yeah, I see it. Or, right. But like, if it's like, no, then it's like, oh, are you okay? Like, what's going on? But like, I think that like just reframing the idea of losing weight as automatically being good is like what we all need to be moving. Cause it's like, if you're losing weight at a rapid rate, and it's like, bitch, why are you losing weight? Like, are you okay? And a lot of the time it don't be that. And I think we need to hold space for that. Like, just because you're skinny doesn't mean you're healthy. Sometimes it's a sign that you're not healthy, like that you're unwell. So again, like, if you see someone losing weight and you know them, and y'all are friends and you'll have a rapport, maybe just like frame it differently. Cause like automatically congratulating someone for losing weight is crazy. Yeah, so they might be sick.
Yeah, they might not be doing well.
Or
I think about Chadwick Boseman.
I think about it all the time.
Where he didn't want anyone to know, but he was literally dying. And people did actually talk shit about him while he was thin. Because it gets to a point, right? Like, it does get to, at first it's like, ooh, and then it gets to where they're like, oh, wait, hold on.
Right.
Not this far.
Right. And I mean, we're already running long, but like, I think Marvel is like a
absolutely
an example right now, right? How like the male figure form, whatever you want to call it, they're kind of shifting the what a male body looks like, and it's unrealistic. Like, these niggas got muscles on muscles, and they're being paid to look like that, right? But that's not what a normal man looks like. And I remember, because you remember Michael B. Jordan got really big for that movie.
Mm.
And we was all cheering. And then Chadwick, I mean, he's cut, but like, my nigga had cancer. He wasn't telling nobody. He was smaller. So there was already like, he was being compared to another black man on the film body, right? Mm-hmm. But then as the movie came out, when my man was getting more sick, I think the thing that happened, he posted a live, and they was in the comment section cooking him. And then he took the video down, and then he died shortly after. And like, his wife recently commented on that. And I'm like, well, that's why y'all. That's why y'all need to maybe mind y'all's business if it's not coming from a place of care.
And you can't truly care about somebody who you don't really know. You're not truly in community with. You're not in community with someone that you see online, right? That's not your community. I want to recommend some media related to fat phobia. A couple of books: Fearing the Black Body, The Racial Origins of Fat Phobia by Sabrina Springs. This is basically a historical narrative from the Renaissance to now, analyzing how fat people went from being praised to we went to a culture of fat phobia. And this was featured on an episode of The Nod, our favorite podcast, way back in the day. And then also Belly of the Beast, The Politics of Anti-Fatness and Anti-Blackness by Deshaun L. Harrison. This takes on desirability politics. I read this when it came out, and it's really good. And it also talks about the direct harms of anti-fatness and anti-blackness. Lastly, watch Survival of the Thickest with Michelle Buteau. Just fat women getting loved, and there's a lot of other fat women on that show.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, of course.
Do I have any media? No, this anti. I'm trying to think.
I know. I was thinking of some that were problematic. I was why did I get married?
I literally thought about The Clumps.
Oh, I thought about why did I get married with Jill Scott?
And Tyra Banks. Sheila
drive up the mountain. Oh, Tyra Banks, please.
I feel like anytime you're wearing a fat suit, that's like an example of like maybe not, because like making mockery of it. And but none of the positives. Survival of the Thickest is the only one I've actually seen on here. And I love me some Michelle Buteau.
Yeah, she's such a cutie. All right, well, today's episode is sponsored by Big Food. Don't let Big Ozempic steal your appetite. Eat today.
Right. Could you imagine not having oxtails? Like, oh, I can only eat a half of oxtail. I would cry. I would weep.
Now, that would save you some money now if you can only eat half an oxtail. But it's not worth it.
I can't see it. I just can't see a world. I mean, mac and cheese, you probably shouldn't eat mac and cheese all the time. But like, bitch, the couple times a year that you get to make some mac.
A few times. We have it a few times.
You only get a couple bites.
Mm.
I can't see it.
So sad.
Big thanks to our audio producer and audio dice, Aaron Rand Freeman. I've been Vance Go, and you can find me on Instagram and what's the other one? Threads at Sir.
And I'm Nandi K. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky at Nandi K A Y Y Y. And follow us on our new Instagram at Right Quick Podcast. Maybe we'll have some content coming up soon. We'll see. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Right Quick is a podcast for The Agenda Productions, created by Nandi K and co-hosted by Vance Go. Aaron Rand Freeman is our mouthy producer. Theme music by Luke Santee. Art by Sonia Honeycutt. Thank you. you like what you heard, subscribe, rate, review, and follow us on Patreon at They Agenda Productions.